This morning to find your sermon notes. You can fill in the blanks as we go, but most importantly to use this as part of your ongoing devotional life this week. You know now that we are in the third week of a new series called Unshakable based on the book by my good friend Nelson Searcy. If you haven't yet picked up a copy, let me encourage you to do that. It's a great resource. This week I want to encourage you to read chapter 6 in the book. It goes along with the sermon today. In particular, as we talk about principle number 2, you'll recall that principle number 1 was that we need to secure a solid foundation. So we have our little rock up there reminding us that Jesus is our solid rock, there from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Well, we're going to continue over these next several weeks going through 6 more principles. This one is based on an old country western song. The title there, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Anybody remember that one? You have to be a little older, a little older to remember that one. I first heard it on the radio. I was probably still in the womb, I'm going to say that. So, well, maybe a little older. Yeah, I give myself away here. So, the words were, and I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime, right? So that's the way the song goes. It simply reminds us that God also, even though this is a love song, God never promised us a rose garden here on earth either. So if you want to fill in the blanks, pain, struggle, and difficulty are all normal. Can you say that with me? Pain, struggle, and difficulty are all normal. It's going to happen. We all know that. You live long enough, more than a couple of years, and you know this is normal. Now, sometimes we are the ones who cause the pain, right? Because of what we do, what we say, the choices we make. A lot of times we make our own pain, but sometimes others cause the difficulties. It's what they say. We're the victim. It's what they do. We're the victim. And then there are times, as the bumper sticker says, and I won't say the actual word here in church, but sometimes trouble just happens. Right? It just happens. Nobody caused it. Nobody's fault. It just happens. There's tornadoes, there's earthquakes, people get cancer, and the list goes on and on. Now, there are people who deny that, who will say there isn't any trouble in life, not any real trouble anyway, that's all in your mind. So all you have to do is have a positive outlook, you know, the proverbial rose-colored glasses, and you look through that and life is not bad at all. I wish that was the way it was. I really do. Wouldn't that be great? But that's not reality. That's a dream world. We know that pain, struggle, and difficulties are going to happen. And if we deny it, we are actually in the worst position possible, because then we're vulnerable for when reality occurs. So the person is just going merrily through life, and then they begin to figure out that there is trouble. And so they trust someone that they love, and that person does not deliver at the right time, and they get frustrated. Or they try their best and failure comes anyway. Wars explode. We see on the news again shootings and terrorist attacks. And not only then is a person vulnerable, but their entire life can become shattered because of all the difficulties that they encounter in life. And so rather than denying trouble, we understand the words of Jesus. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. And so he told his disciples, when these things happen, don't ask, you know, why me? But rather ask, why not me? This is the world we live in. It is a fallen, sinful, painful world, and it eventually will end in death. And that is reality. Jesus is indeed a realist, and He's preparing his disciples and us for the world in which we live. Now, in this translation, it says tribulation. Other translations say trouble. I picked tribulation because it comes from a Greek word called tribulum. And a tribulum refers to a stick. Now, some of you who are my age or older, and if you grew up on a farm, you can remember the old threshing machines. Anybody remember the old threshing, wheat threshing? Got to go way back for those, the threshing machines. Now, where I grew up, my grandfather called them a thrashing machine. Not threshing, but thrashing. And it took me a lot of years to figure out the actual pronunciation because I thought, because I got thrashings a lot from my father, that's what this was, a thrashing machine based on that old stick in which they used to beat the chaff. So, tribulation means we will take a beating in this life. But here's the good news. Though God never promised a rose garden on earth, he did promise to always be with us. Jesus says, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." So, he gives us these words so that we might have peace as we live. The promise then is not that we will be spared the struggle, but rather that by God's grace we will be equal to the struggle. Not that we're going to be spared the pain and the struggle and the difficulties, but that by God's grace and his strength we can overcome them. So let's go back to the point when Jesus overcomes, and it's at the cross. Of course, he spends 3 years in ministry and he's preaching the good news. He's healing people. He even raises Lazarus from the dead. He does all kinds of miracles. There are great crowds that are following him, but he is not spared tribulation. And so at the cross, he experiences the very worst that life has to offer. Now, if you go back just today, he's betrayed by Judas, one of his best friends. And then he's abandoned at the cross by all of his disciples. He is mocked, he is beaten, and finally, he is killed. So he is not experiencing anything that we will not experience as well. But here's the good news. Evil did not have the final word. Evil literally nails Jesus to the cross. Evil literally causes his death, but evil does not have the final word. Because on Easter, just 3 days later, Jesus is raised by the power of God from that grave. And the good news for us is that very same power is also available to us. Jesus is the first fruits of those who have been raised from the grave. Jesus reminds us, as he told his disciples just before he ascended into heaven, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we are never alone. Now, I've been a pastor for about 25 years, and I've gone to a lot of funerals. I've conducted a lot of funerals, many of them for members here at Emmanuel, many of them for your own family members. And I don't know how many times during the funeral or maybe in the aftermath, someone has come up to me and they would say something to the effect that, "Pastor, if it were not for the faith that I have in Jesus, I couldn't get through this." And maybe you felt the same way. It's because God gives you the power to overcome the struggle that you can continue on. And I can tell you that in the same vein, for those who are not Christians, for those who don't know Jesus Christ, and I've done several of those funerals as well, the funeral home calls and they say, "You know, are you available? We need a pastor." And I always accept. And the reaction is completely different. Sure, there is sadness, there is pain, there are tears, but there isn't that feeling of being beaten as there is for those who have no faith. So the promise is not that we will be spared the struggle, but rather that we will overcome it. Now, I wish it were different. I truly do. I wish that We did live in the proverbial rose garden. I wish life was easier. But if it were, life would be less. Now, I'm going to share some personal stories this morning. So my wife, you can leave the room if you want to. She's sitting in the back. A lot of these you've heard before. So I can tell you that we have now been married 28 years. About 25 of them were good years. So that's a joke. To say life is not easy, is it? And I can honestly tell you that I would not want to go back to the honeymoon. And, well, it's simply because on our honeymoon, I was in the hospital going through chemotherapy. So it was not a really good time. Some of you know the story. Before we got married, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so we spent those first couple of months in and out of hospitals. It was not an easy time. I was going to the seminary at the time, taking classes, not an easy time. And then for the next 5 years or so, because of the cancer, we didn't know whether or not we would be able to have children, which we wanted to have a family. And so we spent 5 years attempting to adopt. And so we literally sent out thousands of letters to everyone that we knew all across the country to see if there might be a baby that needed to be adopted. We also went through all the agencies, and the only babies that were available were either older or special needs children. And we had decided that we did not want to go that route. I remember one Christmas Eve, we had a little baby that had been identified in Columbia, Missouri through a friend of ours. And it looked like the adoption was going to go through. The young lady that had the baby had consented. And then we found out on Christmas Eve that the baby had a heart defect and that it probably was not going to live. And so we got that phone call on Christmas Eve that the baby had died. We had countless setbacks like that, time after time after time, where we had our hopes dashed because the adoption wouldn't go through. Then, of course, we adopted Philip, and for the first couple of years of his life, he developed normally, hit all the milestones, walking and talking and all of those things that so many of you have seen in your children. And then at about 2 years of age, he began to digress, and his speech left him, no longer would make eye contact, began to have temper tantrums, and would cry all the time. And so we literally had years where he would not sleep, where he would cry, and we had to sit up with him throughout the night, laying next to his bed just to calm him down. And then there were the times as he grew up, because he was not able to tell us what was wrong, where we made decisions that didn't appear to be so healthy as we look back. I remember a time about 6 years ago. We were here in this building. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We were in the conference room. I was leading devotions with our faculty at the time. And at that time, Philip was being dropped off by a bus. And then we had a caregiver who would pick him up, go to our house, stay there for an hour or so until Sharon could come home in the afternoon. So it's in January. It's snowing. We get a phone call. And they come and they get me and they say, "Pastor, it's for you." So I went and got it. And Philip had fallen. And being the great father that I am, I asked, "Is he hurt?" And she said, "Well, he's crying." So I said, "Well, if he doesn't stop crying in 20 minutes, call me back." Because he did that a lot for no apparent reason. Well, in 20 minutes, the call came back. "Yes, he's still crying." So we rushed home. Sharon took him to the emergency room. They x-rayed his foot and his knee, and he had a hairline fracture of his foot. So they put a boot on, and for about the next 3-4 weeks or so, the therapist told us that he needed to walk on it. It wasn't that bad, and we should make sure that he was walking. Well, all through the night, the next day, and the next day, and the next day, he was in a lot of pain. So we moved him downstairs. We called the doctor. "Can we get some more medication? Because he's still crying." And the doctor said, "No, he should be fine." So I said, can I have some medication? And the doctor said, no, you'll be fine. And so on and on it went. We found out later that he literally had sheared the bone in his hip all the way through. So later on, he had to have major surgery to put pins in a plate. When he was coming out of the surgery from the anesthesia, as he often did, he pulled literally every tube out of his body. He had an epidural. Some of you ladies have had that for childbirth. Philip had an epidural for the surgery. I remember the nurse telling me, as I had told her, we need to make sure that his arms are tied down because he will pull that out. Her words, no one has ever pulled that out. I said, Philip will be the first. And he was. So those are the kinds of things that we went through. My choice would not have been to do that. Your choice for your life would be to not go through the difficulties that you have experienced. And yet I know that my life would be less without them. I know that the relationship that I have with my wife over these 28 years, because of the pain and the struggle and the difficulties, is so much deeper and so much more intimate. Not in spite of the struggles, but because of them. And I know that my children are far more sensitive to the struggles of others because they had Philip as a brother for these last 22 years. The good news for us is not that this will be a rose garden. It's not that we will be spared the struggles, but that God can use them. And by his grace, we can cope and overcome them. As I had mentioned before, when it comes to the funerals and the difference in attitude among the Christians and those who do not know Christ, I can literally tell you that those who don't are beaten down by life. But those who do, they are the ones who become stronger. They are the ones that God will use to do even more amazing things that they never would have been able to do without the struggle. I want to close with this. There's an old parable. It's by a German author by the name of Schiller. It tells a children's story, and it goes something like this. When God created everything, he made the birds not like we know them today, but rather as earthbound creatures like mice and squirrels. And then he took these things that we would know as wings, and he gave them to the birds, and he thrust them upon them. And at first, the birds didn't know what to make of it, and they were angry. And they said, what are these heavy objects that we need to carry around? It was so much better when we simply crawled along the ground. But because they loved the Lord, they carried the wings. And then they became fastened to their backs. And the very thing that they had viewed as a burden now lifted them into the freedom of the skies. And they flew. Whenever you have pain or difficulty or struggle in life, it can be a mini crucifixion. And yet, in a few days, God raised his son from the grave. And so also for you, God can also raise you to new heights. One day, there will be no more pain or difficulties or struggles, and we'll call that heaven. But until then, and I don't know why God gives us these things, but we can know that it is for our good. He never promised a rose garden, but he promised to be with us every step of the way, and he promised to help us overcome the world. And in that, we can have peace. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.